This morning's reading is 1 Timothy 1, and I'm starting at the first verse and reading to verse 11. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the command of God our Saviour, and of Christ Jesus our hope. To Timothy, my true son in the faith. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, and Jesus Christ our Lord. As I urged you when I went into Macedonia, stay there in Ephesus, so that you may command certain men not to teach false doctrines any longer, nor to devote themselves to myth and endless genealogies. These promote controversies rather than God's work, which is by faith. The goal of this command is love, which comes from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. Some have wandered away from these and turned into meaningless talk. They want to be teachers of the law, but they do not know what they are talking about or what they so confidently affirm. We know that the law is the good of one uses it properly. We also know that the law is made not for the righteous, but for the lawbreakers and rebels, the ungodly and sinful, the unholy and irreligious, and those who kill their fathers or mothers, for murderers, for adulterers and perverts, for slave traders and liars and perjurers, and for whatever else is contrary to the sound doctrine that conforms to the glorious gospel of the blessed God which he entrusted to me. This is the word of God.
Well, good morning. Let's pray. So Heavenly Father, help us to get an overview now of Timothy, this letter to him, and what you want us to learn from all that St. Paul taught him. In Jesus' name, amen. So as Keith mentioned at the beginning, over the summer we've been preaching about the letter of the Apostle Paul to the Colossians. This is one of the various letters that he wrote to local churches. These letters have a similar format, which can be summed up in an amusing, punchy way as follows. So this is a summary of all of Paul's letters. Grace. I thank the Lord for you. Hold fast to the gospel. For the love of everything that's holy, stop being stupid. And Timothy says hi. So, let me repeat that. Grace. I thank the Lord for you. Hold fast to the gospel. For the love of everything holy, stop being stupid. And Timothy says hi. So there we are. Summary of Paul's teaching. These are the points that Paul wants to get across time and time again in each of the varying contexts to which he was writing. There's only one letter where he's not much good to say about the church, and that's to the Galatians, who had fallen into major legalism, religious practice. Anyway, the link with today's sermon and the final is the final statement of that summary, which is, namely, Timothy says hi. Timothy was a companion of Paul's who accompanied him on missionary journeys, and Paul mentions him many times in his writings. So as we begin a series of sermons on Paul's first letter to Timothy today, Paul wrote two letters to Timothy that are included in the Bible, and together with that letter and the one to another assistant called Titus, these are called the pastoral epistles. And of course, an epistle simply means a letter. The pastoral epistles vary from the letters to the churches. They're known as the general epistles or letters, in that these letters, the two to Timothy and the one to Titus, are written to individuals. They're private rather than public letters. So today's sermon is by way of an introduction to the first letter to Timothy. In subsequent weeks, we'll go into more depth, section by section, of the letter. So Paul's writing to Timothy to give him advice, to give him guidance. So we're really going to think about two things in this sermon. Firstly, who was Timothy? And also, what was the nature, the kind of advice that was being given to him in an overview? So firstly, who was Timothy? We can piece together a lot about Timothy from the two letters to him, plus references in the Acts of the Apostles and letters to the various churches. Timothy was a native of a town that's in modern Turkey called Lystra. I always think that Lystra sounds like something you gargle with. But anyway, moving swiftly on, we know from the Acts of the Apostles that Timothy was the son of a Greek father and a Jewish mother. This put Timothy in a unique position, and that he would have been able to relate to both Jewish and Gentile contexts. The Lord often uses mixed heritage people or couples together of different backgrounds to join in his missionary work. Such people can be bridge people who can relate to the different cultures and more easily cross boundaries, particularly where there's a couple, because they're already working out the differences of their heritage and the way the values and the sort of traditions from that heritage. So if you're already working it out on a microcosm within a marriage, say, then you can work that out with different people groups. Timothy also had a great heritage, as he was taught the faith by his mother Eunice and his grandmother Lois. We had a family gathering a couple of days ago where we had four generations together. Sadly, there's no great-grandparents now, but there's a great-great-aunt, a great-aunt, and an aunt. So the faith being passed down generations. And what a great privilege it is to be brought up by in a faith-filled family. My Wendy, her grandmother used to pray with her and sowed many seeds of faith in her at a young age. And as grandparents, we can have a great influence on our grandchildren to show the way of Jesus. So we know that Timothy was a young man when Paul first met him. He was probably still a teenager. Paul described Timothy in the introduction of his first letter to him. In this first letter, he described him as my true son in the faith. It's actually a very close bond between Paul and Timothy. Paul no doubt used the knowledge of the faith instilled in Timothy to reveal more of Jesus to him. And so Timothy became a highly committed follower of Jesus, a highly committed Christian. And Paul took Timothy with him on his missionary travels. This included Paul's journey in Macedonia and Achaia. Timothy was with Paul during the long preaching ministry that Paul had in Ephesus. He travelled with Paul then from Ephesus to Macedonia, to Corinth, back to Macedonia, and to Asia Minor, all around the Turkey and Greece sort of part of the world. Timothy even seems to have accompanied Paul all the way to Jerusalem. And he was with Paul during his first imprisonment. It's beginning to sound a bit like a travel agency or a holiday advert for Jet2 here. Other travel agents are available. You may be feeling a bit travel sick or jet lagged with all of that travelling. But that was Paul's ministry, and Timothy accompanied him on quite a bit of that. So, having done all that travelling around, you'd be pleased to know that Timothy eventually remained in Ephesus, where Paul left him to deal with the problems there. Paul saw so much potential in Timothy, and so he felt able to entrust him with this challenge. Paul had sowed into Timothy's life during all that time travelling and ministering together. And Timothy was still only probably by then in his very early 20s. You can see how highly Paul thought of Timothy when he references him when he wrote to the church in Philippi. He said, "I've no one else like him who will show genuine concern for your welfare." So this is where we enter the first letter to Timothy. Paul's left him to minister to the young Ephesian church. And from our reading this morning, we heard that there were false teachings going on. And there was a lot of very bad behaviour, with murder and sexual immorality on top of the list. This was the environment in which this early church was begun and began to grow. So the overall scope of the letter is to instruct Timothy to bring order to the church and how it should be governed. It's left a great legacy for us today to learn about these very things. As Paul puts it, "I'm writing these instructions to you so that you will know how people ought to conduct themselves in God's household, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and foundation of truth." So we can get an overview of the advice Paul was giving Timothy from the structure of the letter. Just going back to the beginning of my sermon and the summary of Paul's letters, the first thing Paul always writes about, which is grace. So Paul reminds Timothy about his own story. Paul himself had not deserved anything from God. He describes himself as a blasphemer, a persecutor, and a violent man. But he says God showed him mercy because he'd acted in ignorance and unbelief. He says that the grace of the Lord was poured out on Paul abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Jesus Christ. So the mercy of God, that's not giving us something that we do deserve. That's mercy. Whereas grace is giving us something that we don't deserve. And Paul knew that he didn't deserve anything from God from the way he'd acted. But Paul turned around, raised up, so he could be an example to others, so that they would come to believe too. I find it a great encouragement that God turned around someone like Paul to use him to inspire others to believe. Anyway, more of that is coming next week. But Paul is reminding Timothy of this great work that God can do, so that Timothy would hold on to the faith when it seemed others were turning away. The letter continues with instructions on what to do when people gather together to pray and to worship. There's an instruction to pray for those in authority in government. And that is certainly relevant for us right now, isn't it, as we wait for tomorrow's news on the new Prime Minister. I think praying is certainly what we need to do. Then there's some challenging things to be unpacked about the role of women in church leadership. But again, we'll leave that for another day. And after this, Paul goes on to write about the qualities of those who lead the church, overseers and deacons, and their families. Again, this is relevant to us, with Marcus Giddy and Mark Smead being ordained next Sunday, when a number of us will be going to support them both at the ordination in Chelmsford. So again, I'm struck by how very timely is this letter to Timothy to consider it at the moment. The next chunk of advice to Timothy is how to deal with false teaching, which was a real challenge to the early church. And at the time, there was a belief going around that all that mattered was the spiritual, that our bodies did not matter, so we can do what we like with them, which led to some of the behaviour that we heard about in our reading this morning. So that was one result of this false teaching that was around, known as Gnosticism, and about gaining knowledge of the spiritual without thinking about the physical. So some thought, oh, I can just do what I like with my bodies, whereas others thought, oh, well, we'll just ignore our bodies altogether and become highly aesthetic people and not do anything practical with our lives. So Paul's clear that God made us physical as well as spiritual, and that we should honour our bodies and not abuse them. And then there's a chunk of teaching about how to treat people in different stages of life. This includes older men and women, those who are young, and widows and slaves. These groups of people are in danger of being treated badly because they're more vulnerable. So in his support to Timothy and his guidance to Timothy, he's reminding them about these groups of people and how to care for them, how to pastor them, how to look after their well-being, how to honour them. The church needed to set an example in society all those years ago when these groups of people were not treated so well. And of course it's the same today. On the news we constantly hear of the mistreatment of vulnerable groups of people. So we can be reminded on the right ways by this ancient letter, and we know that human nature has not changed. Then there's towards the end of the letter a very relevant set of advice about how we should regard money. And once again, we have an especially timely topic with the economic crisis in our country at this time. Paul reminds us in this letter that it's the love of money that is the root of all evil. Money is a necessity to make the world go round, but it's not the source of our life or the focus of our worship. So where do we end up after all of that? That sort of quick overview of the letter. The themes are a pre-echo of what's to come over the coming weeks. It's a starter for 10 or a taster. For today, what comes across most importantly is that Timothy was a young man who started his ministry as a teenager. Paul entrusted him with a great deal of responsibility, but he continues to advise and guide him through these letters. A few years ago, I had the privilege to visit some of the churches in Indonesia. I went to Semarang on the island of Java. Bear in mind that Indonesia is the largest Muslim nation in the world. But back in the late 70s, an enormous Christian revival began. The revival began with a small group of sixth formers, 17 to 18-year-olds, who had the Lord imparted through His Spirit a massive revelation of who Jesus is. And these young people worked in the schools, and they were the leaders of a massive move of God in the nation, with thousands and thousands and thousands of people becoming Christians in a short space of time. So those teenagers were leaders in the revival. When I visited, these same people were in their late 50s. They'd become the leaders of mega churches and of other ministries. They were the great stewards of the move of God, and He used them to grow the church. So that sound advice to Timothy 2,000 years ago is just as relevant to us today, and to remind us about the importance and the potential of the young people, which of course we were reminded about last week. So what I want us to do in our response today is all of us to think about a young person that we know. maybe a child still, or a teenager, or a young adult. And in a moment of space now, to pray for that person and to believe that God can do in them more than we can ask or imagine. So let's do that now. In the silence of our hearts, let's ask the Lord to bring a particularly young person to our mind. Heavenly Father, we thank you that have sowed into our lives the faith. You've talked to us about Jesus. Maybe a parent or a grandparent. Maybe a friend or a member of our church. And we pray that we may sow faithfully into the lives of those young people that we've been bringing before you now. That we'd see your kingdom come, your will be done. And as in Indonesia, many, many, many people come to believe and to follow the Lord Jesus. Amen.